Have you given your soul to God? Or does it still belong to the ego? The ego is just a shell, a nutshell. If it is not opened voluntarily, and the soul, the essence, the nut, the meat, the core, given to God, then karma will crack the shell open. But the shell has no value in itself. And now is the time when every shell is to be cracked open. But those who give themselves to God, to give their whole soul, whole heart, whole mind, whole will to God voluntarily, out of love, out of adoration, for that supreme and only real power, those who give all voluntarily, out of service, out of joy, out of reverence for the beauty and the goodness and the purity of God, to return to earth, to return to make the earth into a heaven. That is the highest form of self-transformation. In the old days, the sages would talk about God as the name. In the Jewish tradition, they refer to God as Hashem, the name. But everyone in every tradition refers to the name of God. Because when you are a lover of God, when God is always present in your heart, then all it takes is to speak the name of God, and one is in union. One is in a trance of bliss. And it doesn't even matter what signifier you use, because the signifier is not the name. It's only when the signifier is connected absolutely to the signified that the name becomes the Shem Tov, the good name, the real name, the name of God that is in your heart as yourself. And so the godly light and the blissful union shines and fills one with total peace and total grace. So do you use the name of God? And when you call on God with whatever is the name for you, do you feel the light and the bliss immediately? Do you feel transformed? Do you realize God's presence and protection and guidance in every moment? If you remember the Mahabharata, it was written by a man named Vyasa. But if you read it, the narrator of the story is named Vyasa. And if you read the story, a character in this great epic is named Vyasa. Are they different or are they the same? If you read the story, when the character Vyasa shows up, he is always asked by the other characters, but you're the author, why don't you change it? And he says, I have no power. I can do nothing. But then Vyasa, the narrator, Even though he can't change the story, he can change the meaning of the story. In fact, it's the narrator who gives it meaning, who gives it the values that turn it into a liberating narrative that brings one to that level of the real beyond all narratives. And then one realizes one is the author, one is that Vyasa, who has the ability to write a new Mahabharata and has no limitations on the power of creative intelligence. But which are you? Are you the character or the narrator or the author? Or all? Because until you have claimed your divine right of authorship through becoming one with the mind of the one author and no longer identified as a character or even as a mind that is narrating what is going on in its individual life, only when there is no longer any identification with the individual life and no desires and no intentions and no wishes for it to change or to become some scenario that gives more gratification than the current one. Only when all of that has been let go of, all the illusions of the fiction of the story, can one proceed to return to the level of authorship. But this is the level that we are called to now. Or else we remain characters who go into suspended animation when the story ends, and soon it will end, because all the lines of force in this story right now are leading to destruction, hurtling at tremendous speed, all the forces of destruction toward nuclear war, toward lack of food, toward the massive inevitable delayed deaths from the shot, and from more causes than I could list in the time I'd be allowed to speak about them this morning before you'd all get too hungry and worried about other things than truth. But the truth is here, and the truth now must have its accounts settled with the lie and with the fiction. Because when God comes, one cannot fake one's relationship to the real. And no one can avoid the judgment of God. And so as we approach the very end of what we quaintly call life, that is an illusion, a dream within the mind of the author of this unreality, can we claim back that power of light and truth based on the realization of all the lessons we have been turned into a character in order to learn? Because that's why an author writes a book, to learn from the very characters and their own apparent free will that defies their own intentions, that must settle themselves in accord with all of the conflicting drives that make up an apparent individual, who is actually always an entire cosmos in a nutshell, in a suitcase, in a point of light. And it is in the realization of the infinite within the finite that the portal opens to the real that brings salvation. But in order to enter into that, one has to let go of the three major vices that hold one in the illusion of the character. And the first is the will to power. People refuse to break open the shell. They refuse to surrender to God. They'll even leave the ashram if they lose power. They want individual power. Every ego demands power. And if power is taken away, they will fight or flee, or they will passively, aggressively resist. But they will not surrender. And it is power that paradoxically, that will to power that then destroys the soul and brings powerlessness as the karmic consequence. And the other is the will to security, to want to be safe, to not take chances, to hide, to not speak truth or live in truth or commit oneself to truth. The cowardice of wanting security over becoming a leader, a guide, a light unto the world. That hiding of one's power as the author creates an inability to come out of the shell of the character's illusory safety behind the facade of the ego and its fictional accoutrements of power in the form of money or other forms of illusory wealth based on attachments. And personal gratification is the final one. The need to constantly be filled, to have one's lack taken away by the other. The inability to stand alone and find the real nourishment, the real source of our being within the self, but wanting it to project upon another and then possess the other. If these are not overcome, if one does not stand in truth in one's real consciousness, without any of these flawed and illusory narratives, then one's entire system will break down in the coming days when all of those forces of the lower death drive are fully activated and erupt into the phenomenal plane. And the death drive manifests as the will to power, and to gratification and to security. But what one must know is that the lower death drive and the upper are ultimately one, in the same way that matter and antimatter are one. And when they meet, they annihilate each other, and there is only nothingness, because it is the nothingness, the unmanifest, that is the real. And so our own consciousness must become unmanifest through the absolute incineration of the I thought, so that the real unmanifest I, the absolute self, does manifest as the miracle of divine presence. And that is the way that the world will end in a new beginning of a new play created by the divine intelligence at last released from its imprisonment in the character shell of its own creation. And now is the moment. And only through love, only through total adoration of the Lord, of light, of truth, can freedom be granted, can the grace of the Absolute Self be known, and the salvation of the Self from its own sanskaras be given as the grace that is our own redemption from the ego mind that has brought us all the misery that we endure. May we have the power to silence our enemy, our I thought, and again abide in the kingdom of heaven. May we be granted with that peace that comes from having eliminated all of the contradictions of life that come from identification with the ego, and simplified the narrative into silent presence that is devoted only to the will of God and the mind of God, and the word of God is all that is heard in one's consciousness. And may one have the deeper peace of the attainment of the one hope for salvation, which is the truth that we were never born, never created, we never left the God real that transcends this illusory karmic veil of tears, because the burden of karma is too heavy, too extensive, too deep, too unknowable to process, to purify, to cleanse in the time that we have left if we try to approach it step by step with every sin we have committed, every vice, every lack, every failing, every shortcoming. We would take another kalpa to undo all the wrongs we have committed. And it is only that realization that we have not ever been this character, but only its author, that can free us from the grip of the guilt and the shame and the horror of the egoic existence we have so misled. And may we know the peace that comes from the absolute surrender to the real, that no longer identifies with any trace of a sanskara, but remains as the absolute unmanifest one, and abide as that through all the body's activities in waking dream and sleep without any fall into illusion. Namaste.